I observe from behind borrowed sunglasses as the women whom I must call my colleagues reunite after a summer spent apart in various trying locales, such as remote tropical islands, the south of France, the Hamptons. I watch their fervent little bodies lunge for each other in something like rapture. Nails the color of natural poisons, digging into each other's forearms, with the force of what I keep telling myself is feigned, surely feigned, affection. Shiny lips parting to call each other by their communal pet name. Jesus, are they for real? Ava whispers in my ear now. She has never seen them up close. Didn't believe me when I first told her about them last year. Said, there is no way grown women act like that. You're making this up, Smacky. Over the summer, I started to think I had too. It is a relief in some ways to see them now, if only to confirm I am not insane. Yes, I say. Too real. I watch her survey them through her fishnet veil, her David Bowie eyes filled with horror and boredom, her mouth an unimpressed red line. Can we go now? I can't leave yet, I say, my eyes still on them. They've pulled apart from one another at last, their tweed dresses not even rumpled, their shiny heads of hair not even disturbed, their skins glowing with health insurance as they all crouch down in unison to collectively coo at a professor's ever-jumping shih tzu. Why? I told you I have to make an appearance. Ava looks at me, slipping drunkenly down the pillar. I have said hello to no one. Not the poets, who are their own fresh, grunty hell. Not the new incoming fiction writers, who are laughing awkwardly by the shrimp tower. Not even Benjamin, the friendly administrator to whom I usually cling at these sorts of functions, helping him dollop quivering offal onto dried bits of toast. Not my workshop leader from last spring, Fosco, or any other member of the esteemed faculty. And how was your summer, Sarah? And how's the thesis coming, Sasha? Asked with polite indifference, getting my name wrong always. Whatever response I offer, an earnest confession of my own imminent failure, a bald-faced lie that sets my face aflame, will elicit the same knowing nod, the same world-weary smile, a delivery of platitudes about the process being elusive, the work being a difficult mistress. Trust, Sasha. Patience, Sarah. Sometimes you have to walk away, Serena. Sometimes, Stephanie, you have to seize the bull by the horns. This will be followed by the recounting of a similar creative crisis/breakthrough they experienced while on a now defunct residency in remote Greece. Brittany, Estonia, during which I will nod and dig my fingernails into my upper arm flesh. And obviously I haven't talked to the lion, even though he's here, of course. Somewhere. I saw him earlier out of the corner of my eye, more maned and tattooed than ever, pouring himself a glass of red wine at the open bar. Though he didn't look up, I felt him see me. And then I felt him see me, and keep pouring. I haven't seen him since then, so much as sensed him in my nape hair. When we first arrived, Ava felt he must be nearby. Because look, the sky just darkened out of nowhere. This evening, all I have done in terms of socializing is half smile at the one the bunnies call Psycho Jonah, my social equivalent among the poets, who is standing alone by the punch, smiling beatifically in his own antidepressant-fueled fever dream. Ava sighs and lights a cigarette with one of the many tea lights that dot our table. She looks back at the bunnies, who are now stroking each other's arms with their small, small hands,